emergency?
Hello.
Hi.
We're back.
We are so back. Okay, one, two, three. Let's chug this wine. One, right. Two, three. On three.
One, two, three.
Are we counting backwards from three?
Blast off.
And go.
I don't know why we always say, let's chug this wine, and we can never chug it.
It's unchuggable.
It is unchuggable.
It's unchugable. If you know, you know.
You know what I'm thinking? Maybe if I was like already drunk, and you know when you're drunk and somebody hypes you up, you can like do anything.
Yes.
Right?
So absolutely.
If we were drunk and we're both like, yeah, fuck it. Yeah, let's chug it. I bet you we would fucking down it.
You think? I feel like I would overestimate my abilities to chug wine, and I would choke and be embarrassed, and then you have red wine on your carpet now.
Yeah, I'd probably like come out my nose or like something.
And I'm never gonna get invited ever again. What's like the most thing? What's that one activity that you did that when you were drunk and like your peers were hyping you up? What's something that you did?
That's a good question. Like, I embarrassed myself or just in general?
I guess
like,
in general. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. Probably like sing or something.
Yeah. That is like the most scariest thing ever. Yeah. For sure. I would say definitely when it was one of your birthdays and we ended up at this like country bar with your friends and we were all super drunk and they're like, you guys sing. And then you and I both were like, let's sing together.
Oh,
we were in Big Bear.
Oh, yeah.
We were drunk as hell. And then we sang, what did we sing? That Carrie Underwood song?
And I dug my
key into the side.
Oh,
we
gosh.
Killed it.
We got in front the of most all those white people. It was
cliche
so
song
white.
To sing. At a country bar, but yes.
But we really fuck with that song. It's
I know.
Like, we didn't sing it because we were at a country
bar. No, it's because we loved it. Yeah, we're like, let's do this one.
Yeah.
Sure, they were annoyed.
Oh, wow. We were drunk. I forgot about that.
So drunk. I was super drunk. And then I remember
like 12.
I know, right? And I was like, I remember one of your friends gave me her drink and was like, here, drink this more so you won't be nervous. And I was like, okay. And I downed it.
I'm like, terrible friends. I'm a terrible sister.
I was like 17. What a life.
Why did they let you in that
girl
bar?
And he knew it. Like, he looked at the fake ID and then looked at me and then looked at
I'm like, he even carded
us? Yeah, he definitely carded us at the wine tasting. He didn't, or the lady didn't card us, but at the bar the guy carded everyone, and then he got to me and then he looked at me for like a minute, like he knew. But then he was just like, whatever.
He probably was like, I'm not about to tell all, because we were deep. There's like 11
exactly
of us.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's probably like, I'm not,
and I was
the
only underage. Yeah,
this one person.
Yeah. And so, and I think he said like, be careful or something like that. Like that was like, okay.
It was like super hole in the wall too.
Yeah,
like, yeah. That was fun.
So fun.
What a fun time.
This is Cocktail Murder, ladies and gents, and
I'm
Honey. We drink, we talk about murder. Last week we had a cab. No, last week we had a Pinot. This week we're having a Cabernet. I personally feel like I want to slow down on the drinking on the weekends, and even during the weeks I kind of want to restrict it to wine, only because I feel like drinking has been adding to like, maybe not weight gain, but I'm putting in so much work and I'm not losing anything. And I think now like the last possible thing it could be is alcohol, because I drink a lot. So I'm like, maybe I should just dial that back a bit. And of course, carbs in my diet, and I should probably be more restrictive on that.
Yeah.
Although I don't eat horribly.
You'd be so proud of me. I went grocery shopping and I put the bread back, girl.
Super proud of you.
Didn't get the tortillas.
No, I checked the fridge to make a sandwich for lunch, and what do you know? Lettuce for lettuce wraps.
Lettuce for lettuce wraps.
I was like, okay, sure, let's do this.
Days.
Yeah. Anyway, so wine is just going to have to do for
do
a little bit.
I agree with you with that. And to be honest, like, leading up to my birthday, I was doing like a dry November.
Yeah.
I wasn't really drinking, even though, I mean, I had some drinks here and there, but definitely not as much as you and I are used to drinking. And I did kind of feel a difference. I can't even lie.
That's like, good.
There was a difference. And, you know, there's something about waking up in the morning without a hangover.
Girl.
That is so beautiful.
I used to drink a lot. On every, like, the weekend, as long as it's still going, I'm drinking, no matter if Monday is the next day, right? And last weekend, I decided to just, like, I'm like, I don't really want to drink. So I didn't drink on Sunday at all. And, yeah, although I had the typical Monday blues because it's Monday and I don't want to go to work, I felt more energized to, like, ready to go. Oh, my God, to get back into the swing of things for sure. So I'm like, okay, I kind of want to keep this up. I do like that.
Yeah, it's not so bad. It's not so bad, but wine is fine. I mean, if you're going to chug wine, though, it's like the same as just like drinking liquor.
Yep. So. It hits a little better, but you know, the antioxidants is what they hit. And I will not Google the actual facts. I'm just going to say.
No, why would we?
I'm just going to. I'm gonna act like it's healthy so my body can react that way. That reminds me of this one.
You're manifesting health in your wine.
I sure am. Jesus did it. So that reminds me of this episode on The Nanny where Fran had two slices of pizza and she like she stacked one over the other and she ate it and they're like, why did you stack one over the other? And she said, well, I'm tricking my body into thinking I'm eating one pizza when I'm actually eating two. So funny.
Anyways. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
Fran looked amazing.
She did. Oh, she sure did. Tricked me into thinking pizza did the trick. So we drink. We talk about murder. Specifically, we talk about Black victims and people of color victims as their cases are oftentimes underreported, untold, all that bad stuff. So this is the platform specifically for that.
Yes, specifically.
Specifically.
Okay, Dad.
Man. This is I'm like, should we reveal? Sorry,
I am like, I feel like I'm so dragging right now.
No, you're not.
You know what I'm going through? And I figured it out. Because we were talking
earlier
about how like I just am still feeling so tired. Yeah. Even coming off of vacation. I feel, is Charlie over? Are you okay, buddy?
is he throwing up?
Poor dog. Just came back from vacation and I actually do feel refreshed. I just am tired. And so I'm like, what the hell is that? And not only am I tired, I'm a little bit sad. And so I'm like, where is this coming from? I just had a beautiful vacation out of the country. Like, I should be happy. And it's holiday season, my favorite time of the year. But I saw this meme, you know, memes are my therapist. Mm-hmm. And it said something about basically like it's normal to feel like kind of a lull or like like a sadness after either great news or coming from something wonderful because that high of feeling good is so high. And a part of you kind of gets used to feeling that. So when things are normal, it's not really normal anymore. Mm. Now it's kind of a low because that excitement, it's like the adrenaline is gone now.
Oh, shit.
And so I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, it kind of helped me understand why I'm so like, oh, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Of course, nobody wants to go to work, but I'm really like, oh, I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
That
explains a lot. I remember we were talking about shrooms and you were talking about how
which I recommend to everybody.
I know, she's been trying to peer pressure me into doing shrooms a little bit, since I was born. So but you were talking about how you have this high and then you instantly drop and it's like not that it's a horrible feeling physically. It's just that mentally you come back down to like the reality of where you're at. Like, like, even though reality isn't bad, it's just not where you were before when you were
trip. How people can become addicted to things. I mean, shrooms, I've never heard of anyone getting addicted to it. It is natural, whatever. But like I said, I remember the first time I ate a shroom chocolate and I had like the most euphoric trip. Like it was amazing. And I wasn't doing anything but laying down on a couch. I was talking to my friend, and we were both just like, you know, just hanging out and like just feeling it. And then, you know, when you come down, when it wears off, you immediately, you hit reality. It's like, it's very immediate. It's not a slow come down. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was telling him, like, I was almost like sad because that euphoric feeling was so beautiful. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you just kind of like want to chase that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But the good thing with shrooms, again, they're natural. So, you know, you can eat them again and be okay.
Definitely like, you know, me and probably the rest of the population are like afraid to hallucinate. But with shrooms, you don't hallucinate, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not really like a hallucination. Like for me, I'm trying to see if I can explain it. To be honest, like I was staring at a wall and I can see like these little patterns on the wall. So in a way you hallucinate, but it's not like, you're seeing things that aren't like, you know, it's not like you're going to see a person walking out the room. Like, you know, it's like, you're not seeing things that aren't there, but you definitely, like see colors. Like I see colors. And one time I saw neon lights where there were no neon lights, you know, it's like things like that.
That's cool.
But also you're very aware. Yeah. You're not in this state of like, you can't do shit. You can't move. Like, no, you are here and very, very present on them. You just like for me, I was like seeing colors.
See things a little differently.
Yeah. Definitely great. I mean, it's wonderful. And you get a sense of clarity, which you also take with you when you come down, you know, when you're drunk or even when you smoke or something like that. When you're not high anymore, you fucking forget everything that you thought about when you were faded or whatever.
Yeah.
But with shrooms, like you remember everything. Again, you're so present. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm really selling it over here.
I know. I'm like, oh, tell me more. So speaking of non-wonderful things off mic, you brought something to my attention that I did not know about. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, you know what? I am going to actually look up her name, which I should have had that up.
No, yeah, sounds good. So Taja brought something to my attention about the writer of Lovely Bones.
Yes. If you guys don't know that movie.
Oh, man. And it's also a book.
It's really good, but it is heart-wrenching.
Whew, when I tell, it's one of those movies that definitely shapes the true crime community. If you, 100%. If you were never involved in the true crime community before this movie and you watched this movie, I guarantee you'd be a part of the true crime community afterwards. It's just –
so in your feelings,
Super in your feelings, and it's like – it's one of those types of movies where I can – it's like you go through these roller coasters of emotions. Like for me, I went to like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened, to this is happening, to acceptance.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you like feel the perspective of the victim's family as well. Yeah.
You've never seen the movie, which actually comes from the book, which was written by Alice Sibold, which is who we're going to be talking about. And if the movie is the same as the book, what happens is basically this little girl gets kidnapped and she is put into this little bunker in the middle of nowhere. It's really scary. And it goes through the emotions of her father, especially, who's played by Mark Wahlberg in the movie. And it's, it really just goes through that entire stage of this little girl who's kidnapped, who like, she knows what's going on, but doesn't know what's going on at the same time.
Right.
Like it's really good, but unfortunately I will no longer be watching that movie. And you all will not watch this movie after we just hyped it up.
Tell us why.
So the writer of The Lovely Bones, again, Alice Sibold, back in college, I believe it was college, she accused a black man, of rape. Man was sentenced to prison, and he was in prison for a total of 15 years until he was completely exonerated.
And why was he exonerated?
He was exonerated because, well, he didn't rape her. It was all a lie.
Oh, my goodness.
It was all a lie. And the way that they found out that it was a lie is that she is getting ready, or was getting ready, to turn her next book that she wrote into a movie. And the book that she wrote is about her story of being raped by this man.
God. God.
The person that was green lighting the movie, as he was going through her script, was like, some shit here isn't adding up.
Huh.
It is not adding up. So he took that script and all of the information that he could, and he did his own little investigation.
Oh, my God.
Looked into it, and yeah, turned out that she, in fact, lied about being raped.
Holy shit.
And tried to turn it into a movie. A lie. She lied about being raped and then tried to turn that experience into a movie.
Look at God.
Look at God. The crazy thing is she's like still walking on the street though. Like, yeah, there's a video of her. She's just like walking her dog down the street.
Would there be like statute of limitation at that point, like for lying? You know what I mean?
Well,
because I know you can get in trouble for lying. I know that that's a thing. But yeah. But I don't even know what it's called. I know you guys are screaming at us right now. I forgot what that term is called. But you can definitely get in trouble for that. But is there a stat? Because that this
like
is 15.
Perjury? Is that what it's called?
No, like when you're it's like I'm about to make some shit up. Falsifying.
Oh, well, no, yeah, you know, falsifying information.
Some shit like that. I know you guys hate us right now. But anyways, but there's like a legit term for that, and you can either you have to pay a big fine and maybe you go to jail for a couple years. It's not a huge punishment, but you do.
I'm like, there is a consequence. Know that they got in trouble, you know, for that.
Yeah, and if she doesn't ever get in trouble, it might be on the grounds of statute of limitation, because would it start from the time that she accused him, which was 15, not 15 years ago, but which was mm-hmm. years ago, or, you know, so I don't
yeah.
know.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm actually like looking right now to see any information on that. But I don't really see anything so far. But I did want to say his name. His name is Anthony Broadwater, and he was actually in prison for 16 years, not 15.
Oh, man.
And he maintained his innocence throughout the entire time.
Oh, no.
And guess what, you guys? He was denied parole 5 times during his prison stay, and he was denied parole because he did not admit to raping her.
Shut up.
Because he maintained his innocence that whole time, they did not allow him parole.
Shut up.
Isn't that crazy?
Why does that I watched a movie where it was kind of like that. I can't even remember it, but whatever. Yeah.
You know what's crazy? The name of the movie was going to be called Lucky.
Hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Hmm.
I don't know. So, yeah, that's definitely a story that I wanted to bring up. One, because I know a lot of people love that movie, and I just want to say stop watching it, even though it was good. Like, stop watching it because
we want to make sure that someone like her does not capitalize off of tugging on our heartstrings when we actually feel bad for victims. And it's unfortunate that women like her, women or just people like her, just add to the trope of false accusations.
I mean, especially against a black man
for sure.
Probably made it so easy for them to put him in
100%
because he is a black man, you know, like, so crazy. So that's happening now. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be bringing charges up against her or what, or if they even can, but if they are able to, it's another case that we'll be watching.
Wow. That's insane. That's nuts. Oh, gosh, the shooter's parents. Why can't Ethan Crumbly's parents? Mm-hmm. They were, and this was over the weekend, they were fleeing because they were getting charged with manslaughter, in which they both pled not guilty.
All y'all not guilty?
All y'all not guilty, but okay. And supposedly there was like evidence leaked that Ethan's mom texted him saying, don't do it. So it's speculation that perhaps his family knew or his parents knew what he was about to do before he did it. So anyways, I just want to say that they were found in someone's basement.
Gosh.
When they were running away and they didn't even make it that far, they withdrew only $4,000 trying to get away across country. I'm sorry. That's just hilarious to me.
You're going to run away with $4,000. Before
that, where are you going to go? You can't bribe anybody with that unless you're in bumfuck Oklahoma. So if you're from Oklahoma, I'm sorry, but you know what I mean. But like, You know what I mean? It was. I just thought that that was the most hilarious
a
thing.
A plane ticket and a rental car.
Exactly. And that's it. Like, you're going to go across country. Okay, so you're not going to eat for the duration of the road trip. Yeah, got it. Got it. Right. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, no.
And then they were found in someone's basement. How disgusting of you to hide these fuckers. Too.
For one, I know, I'm like, I wanted to look more, and I probably overread it, but perhaps not overread it, but I probably misread what's it called, whoever hid them. But I think it might have been like a cousin or a family member. I don't know if I kept saying misread, overread. The word that I'm looking for is overlooked. I might have overlooked it, but I don't know who hid them. I don't know if they had any relations to hiding them. They had to have.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Just because they're in here.
Maybe they didn't
what are they
know
gonna
that
do?
They were hiding. Maybe
yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Who freaking knows?
But I definitely did see that, like, the mom had texted him while he was on his way to school saying, like, don't do it or something
right,
like that. Like,
right.
So they knew that.
So they knew. And so
up,
they very much absolutely should be charged with manslaughter. And let me just say this. I with these school shootings, I want to say this is the first time that I've read, or at least it was highlighted here, that parents are getting in trouble for their children's.
Oh my god.
And I don't know if this is the first time with these school shooters. I have no idea. If it is the first time, this is awesome, and I think they should continue that, because it's either the child gets the gun from the parent, the uncle, or whoever, or the child buys the gun themselves. Either or, however the child gets the weapon, I think that it should fall on the parents.
Yeah,
for sure.
When you're 15
I think,
years old.
Yeah, like, whoever the legal guardian is should absolutely get some sort of charge for it, for
right,
sure.
Exactly.
For sure. But it's just it's insane to me how all three of them are going to plead not guilty. I can see how the parents may plead not guilty. Playing devil's advocate.
Not if you know that
yeah,
your son
which is fucked up.
To do this.
For sure. But I can see why they would be like, because I didn't do it,
yeah,
right?
I didn't shoot them yet.
So I can see why they would plead not guilty. But Ethan.
Yeah, for him to please,
boy,
bruh, we can see you.
We see you. You did it. What is this?
What you did?
Right, I don't understand. You did it. What are you talking about? It wasn't you, freaking weirdo. But anyway, so that's still going on. The first hearing was a couple days ago. From the time that you were listening to, I think it was on Monday was the first hearing of the parents.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's when
cool,
they pled
crazy too,
insane. And that's when they pled not guilty. When I saw what his dad looked like, I was like, "Of course he would draw $4,000 trying to get away." Like, he looks like the type of motherfucker
you think they
that,
that
would
all in like one account, or do you think that they like?
It was definitely
had to pull from a few places.
It was definitely. In each other, I think it was $4,000 combined that they both had. So I think that maybe the wife probably had $1,000. Misogynistic much, Tatiana? She probably had $1,000 to her name. They probably had a couple thousand in savings,
and
the dad had $1,000.
They thought they was getting up out of here.
They really thought $4,000 was gonna get. And then you're gonna leave Ethan. You're gonna leave your son. That's fucked up. That they left their child. They left their 15-year-old son. They left him. They were about to never return. You guys, think about this.
They were trying to get up out.
They were about to never return. They were about to be like, okay, you're on your own.
I wonder where they were headed. Like, did they even head south to Mexico?
I don't even know.
Where did they think they were going?
Where would they were in Missouri. If anything, I would go to Canada.
Yeah. Oh, well, Canada not going to let them in, especially right now that Canada's
oh,
tight
yeah.
right now.
So they probably knew that.
And you
dang.
Know they're not vaccinated.
They don't even know. Like, where would they go? But all I know is that they didn't make it far, and they did not give a damn about Ethan or his hearings. They were kind of like, okay, well, Ethan's going down, so we got to go.
Here.
I know. I can imagine what their bedroom conversation was like.
I wonder if they talked about that. Like, if you do it, we're leaving.
Ooh.
Like, I wonder if they like this is something they talked about.
Maybe.
But you know what it sounds like? It sounds like they were probably like, listen, don't do it. We're going to tell you not to do it, but do what you got to do.
Ooh.
Like, that's what it like kind of sounds like. And then maybe they would have, and then maybe they were like, but if you do it, we not going to be here.
I think, yeah, I think I can see that happening, especially with a mom last minute being like, don't do it. I feel like I'm not gonna say they were kind of, but they were exactly. And they were kind of like, oh, if you do it, we'd be disappointed and you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And then they probably felt bad, got him a lawyer or whatever. And then they, the parents, lawyer. And then the parents had their own side conversation. And I assume the dad was like, we gotta go. Like, that's what he sounds like. We gotta go. We gotta get the heck out of Dodge. I just know that's what he sounded like. Oh, and they tried. They tried, girl.
Showed it.
They tried, and they did not succeed.
That's like the first headline I saw was like, his parents are on the run. I'm like, on the run?
For manslaughter? If y'all don't man up, what the hell? And take the charge for manslaughter. Seriously?
Oh, my gosh. I guess speaking of other cases, I'm sure you guys already know, Gabby Petito, her her boyfriend, his body was found.
Yeah, his body was found, yeah.
And then also for, oh my gosh, the other case we were looking into, don't judge me, you guys. Look, I'm going back to the thing so I can see what his name is.
I mean, he's only the other African-American victim that we...
Jelani platform. Day. Goodness gracious, why couldn't I remember his name right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no information on that. That's really what I wanted to say. Because
of course
that's a case that I've been like waiting for more information to come out, and I just really haven't heard anything or seen anything, and maybe things are trying to get squared away or whatever that is just not released to the public. But in those cases, I just feel like this is a public case. Okay. Yeah. We need to know what's going on, because not only are we invested in it, but we deserve this. We deserve to know, especially when it comes to young Black men.
Yep.
Because those are cases that get buried, and that's just not okay. Mm-mm. And like, I think especially when it comes to cases like that, you kind of have to leave it up to the court of public opinion a lot of times, because just like how we see with Alice Sebold and her lying, like everybody thought that she was raped. Everybody thought that this man had raped her until one person who got a little bit more information was like, yeah, no, something's not right about this. And then they look deeper into it. So when the police and like investigators are looking into it and then they close it so quickly, especially again when it comes to people of color,
right?
Like they close it so fast and then they withhold information. But it takes like, sometimes it takes an outsider and people who aren't involved in the case or so close to the case.
Say that.
To reopen it and get more information and find more information, or find like the little hiccups that happened during the investigation that should not have happened.
And then and then once the investigators mishaps are highlighted, then they get on it. And then they're able to solve the case. And I like how you said that they withhold information, because I'm sure that you know that when we look up these cases, you know, that we always dive into specifically for this platform. There's always a withholding of evidence, and it's always a long period of time until like a new team is assigned or a newbie is assigned to the case, and they just so happen to dig deep. And then it gets to the point where there was so much withholding of evidence and information that they can't even put the puzzle pieces together anymore because so much time has passed. It's a pattern that we see every time.
The first investigators didn't even gather enough information.
So they can't even revisit the site because there's been so much foot traffic. So how can you possibly collect evidence now?
I don't know how many stories we've told where their own family members have had to petition to get police reports,
right?
To get investigation reports, to get autopsy information. Girl. Like their own families have had to literally file like a suit against them just to get information about their dead loved one. You know, like it's fucked up.
What's that that site called again? Stop the Backlog.
.com. Oh, it's my link in my bio. Let me end the backlog.
Endthebacklog.org. Yeah. Don't listen to me ever.
Yeah, go on that. It's a bunch of like backlogged cases with evidence, and it's just they're literally so backlogged because for some reason resources are not being put into these very, very important
the taxes agencies. That we put into our local departments are not being placed. But anyways, let's get into it. Yeah. Okay. So this week we decided that the theme should be Native American women. Yeah. I mean, well, maybe not women, but...
Well, the theme was Native American stories, yeah. But I believe we both picked women.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are going to get into that. Let's cheers that in, shall we? Okay. I believe I am first.
Okay.
Right?
Possibly.
Okay.
Do you want me to double check? Let me double check.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is why we need an intern, bro. Like, I feel like I've been looking so much shit up in the past.
Email us if you want to intern.
Yes.
Speaking of which, let me check our emails.
Because we've got... hello, I've been emailing you.
What are you talking about? I sent in my resume. Seriously. Oh, also, this is like first this week. Oh, you're first. Yeah. Yay. Okay, go ahead.
No, but were you about to
completely say unrelated.
Okay.
Don't even worry about it.
All right. Okay. First of all, before we get into this, like, okay, Native American stories. Dude, for one, I learned a lot about Native American reservations while looking up this story, and also, just whoa. Okay. So I wanted to start off with this haunting statistic that is, I think, important for everybody to know. According to the U.S. Justice Department, Native American girls are murdered at 10 times the national average.
Shit.
And at least one Native American girl goes missing every 8 hours.
Wow. That's... Wow.
You know, I've heard that there is like there is a huge problem, right, with like Native American, specifically women going missing and are murdered. I knew that there was like a high amount of that. I didn't realize that it was every
how
8
severe.
Hours every, at least yeah. one goes
no,
missing.
No, that's nuts. That's nuts.
That sounds just crazy.
That's ridiculous. Talk about, I mean, even talk about under the radar.
Yes.
For sure.
Super.
That's
super
insane.
Under. But as I get into this, you will see why it's so under the radar.
Here we go.
And these are the native people of this land. I don't understand how they could be so thrown to the side. It's so mind-boggling to me. Okay, so my story takes place on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation in Montana. The natives come from the Cheyenne tribe, and it's home to about 5,000 Cheyenne people. Mm. Now, there are a lot more Cheyenne people, but on this specific reservation, they've counted about 5,000. I don't know much about reservations or living on reservations, but I haven't heard the most positive stories really ever about them. And just like reservations and how they are treated there.
And the conditions, like there's like, it seems like there's zero funding.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that like we know that once again, they're forced off of their own land and they've had to deal with violence, oppression, genocide, and inequality. And I mean, like still now they're dealing with this. It's not a thing of the past. Like this is still an issue. As I said earlier, Native women have or Native American women have the highest rate of going missing or murdered than any other group. We still see disparities within their communities when it comes to education, healthcare, violence, and unfortunately, public services such as law enforcement and police officers. It's been said that if you want to get away with murder, do it there.
Wow.
Because basically what it is that like the tribal police and the state police are two different entities. State police cannot make an arrest on a reservation. If a non-Native American commits a crime on a reservation, the tribal police cannot arrest them.
What?
So we see that's why, like, people are getting away with murder, because state police can't do anything.
There's jurisdiction.
And if the person happens to be a non-Native American on a reservation, they will not get arrested either by the tribal police. So it's almost like both of them can't do anything. Even if they have that person right there in their face, they cannot arrest them. Oh, it's like, God. It's the craziest, most fucked up thing. Yeah. And that was a Supreme Court ruling. And it's just like, what in the hell?
Yeah, no,
like,
that's
that
nuts.
Is ridiculous.
That is nuts.
Okay, so my story is about Henny Scott. Henny Scott was an outgoing, tomboyish girl. She was a middle child. She always challenged herself, but always remained positive. She had hopes of leaving the reservation to become a doctor and then return to help her tribe. On December 7th, 2018, 14-year-old Henny Scott came home from school and was hanging out at home with her family. 14 years old. Shortly after, another young girl that Henny's mother didn't recognize came to their door to ask if Henny could go to an open gym with them. When I hear open gym, I think basketball. So they said that she was into sports and she mm-hmm. was a tomboy. I'm assuming she went to go play basketball. Kind of like a pickup game or whatever. Henny's mom said okay, but she told her to be back soon. Henny called around 8 p.m. to tell her mom that she was on her way home, but unfortunately, that was the last time she would hear from her daughter. Okay, so fast forward I want to say it was the next morning, but there was another article that I read that said it was about 2 days later when her parents filed a missing persons report. So she was gone, but her parents, what they were doing, they were calling around to all of their friends. They were even utilizing social media, trying to figure out where their daughter was. But when she didn't come up and no one knew where she was or hadn't heard from her, that's when they filed the missing persons report, which was about 2 days later. Let me see. Okay, so what they also did, though, is that they remembered that when Henny called to tell her mom she was on her way home, the number had popped up on the caller ID, mm-hmm. and they recognized it. They knew whose house she was at. So they went to the home of where she called from and was like, hey, like, where is Henny at? Mm-hmm. And they basically said, oh, yeah, she was here for a little bit, and then she left. And then that was the last time they had heard from her. So they're just like, okay. Henny's parents went to the tribal police, which I believe were called Lame Deer. I believe that's what they were called. And they tried to get help from them. But they said that no one was helping or listening to them. Like, no matter, like, it was just like, okay, we can kind of file this report, but, like, nothing from there. So they basically tried to go find her themselves. They drove from house to house. They drove for hours around the area looking for where she might be. They even searched for her again through social media, calling everybody they knew. They said that they did receive some tips. Like, people were saying, like, oh yeah, I spotted her here or there, but it was still like the day that she had gone missing. Mm-hmm. So still nothing after that time that she had talked to her mom.
Wow.
They finally went to another reservation to file a report with another law enforcement agency. So right next to them, I believe it was called the Crow Reservation or the Crow. And it was a reservation that was right next to them. So they're like, maybe she could have come over here. Like, how about we get as much people involved as possible? And especially we know, too, like, in a lot of government agencies, or I mean, I'm going to assume the same as a tribal agency, a lot of times law enforcement do not talk to each other. Mm. Like, if a person is missing here in California, you also have to file a report to the next. I mean, even in San Diego, if someone's missing in San Diego, you have to file it in LA.
Yeah.
We're like neighboring, you know, because a lot of times it takes a long time for them to talk to each other, or they don't talk to each other at all. So anyways, they went to the neighboring reservation, and they basically still had no luck there. There was still no information. It just didn't seem like anybody was really going out to look for their daughter. So without receiving any help, 3 weeks after their daughter had gone missing, the family put together their own search party. After only hours of searching in a thick wooded area, they found Henny's body on the ground without a shirt on.
No!
She was only 200 yards away from the house that she had called from.
Oh my God.
So she was close by. Very, very. They said that you can see the house that she was at from where her body was.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Her body was taken in for an autopsy, and her cause of death was hypothermia.
Shit.
This didn't add up, though. She was, once again, only 200 yards from the house that she had come from. If it was that cold outside, or if it was cold outside, why wouldn't she go back to the house that she came from? Which, again, the family knew them. So I'm assuming this is a family friend. I'm sure she would have been comfortable enough to go back, you know, and just be like, I need a jacket, you know, something. Or it's just cold outside, you know? Okay, so... Oh, yeah, they also assumed that her body had been out there the entire 21 days that she had been missing. However, her body wasn't, like, there were no insect bites or animal bites. Like, a body outside for 21 days, which I'm sure started to decay, it would attract some sort of animals or a smell.
Yeah, you'd for sure.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
So basically what is believed by many people is that she had died somewhere else and then her body was put there later.
Oh my God.
But the autopsy was like really fucked up. Like it was like they couldn't really give like a time of death or a date of death. It was just like all of it was just like really weird. They didn't take any like fingernail scrapings, no evidence really. But then they said she died of hypothermia, which once again, it just didn't add up.
Yeah.
And again, said that her body had been there for the full 21 days.
Yeah, but you didn't.
But you think that nature's element wouldn't have gotten to her, like.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no way.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, so the day came to bury Henny's body, and it was an open casket. Her parents saw her body for the first time, and they saw details that didn't come up in the autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
She suffered a broken nose, bruises on her body and face, and an unfamiliar burn mark on her leg.
Oh, my God.
So they're like...
How do you miss all of that?
Yeah.
You missed all of that.
Y'all didn't say none of this in the autopsy report.
Withholding...
Exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
That's that shit.
Did you even do the autopsy? That's shit we're talking
about.
Honestly,
yeah, that's that shit we're talking about.
Okay, so in August, the attorney general closed the case.
Why?
As an accidental death.
What?
Saying that per the autopsy, she did not, even though it was clear she had a broken nose and bruises on her body, per the autopsy, she died of hypothermia.
That's nuts.
They believe that maybe she was just trying to walk home and...
And magically took her shirt off and then just and decided just to lay there?
It was like in the middle of a field.
Even if she died in the middle of the field due to hypothermia, maybe she passed out. Who took her shirt off? This is just...
Right, exactly.
Wow.
Why was she in the middle of the field?
Why was a 14-year-old in the middle of a field?
Right, exactly. Just crazy. Where am I? Okay, so the police basically they did no investigation and withholding information refused to show her parents the police report.
This is nuts. Wow.
The investigator that was actually on the case, which obviously just because there's an investigator doesn't mean that there was an investigation.
Period. Per.
He gave her mom a box of Henny's belongings that was like with her, like her clothing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother opened the box with which her belongings were in and saw nothing that belonged to Henny. Not the shirt. So her shirt was off, but they said it was found next to her. But the shirt was not Henny's. The pants that she had on were not Henny's. Even down to the socks were not Henny's. The only item that belonged to Henny were the shoes and underwear that was found.
Oh my God. What kind of...
Okay. Right. To this day, the family still have not been able to retrieve any information or case files. They are currently fighting to get the case files on the death of their daughter.
Are you kidding me?
The FBI says that they won't give any information because the case is closed. Which doesn't make sense. And the Bureau of Indian Affairs says that they won't give information because it's still considered open.
Oh my God. What?
And my thing is, like, how is it still considered open? And the investigator gave the clothes that she was supposedly wearing, which should be evidence to the mom. Shouldn't that be like in an evidence locker somewhere?
Yep. Why was it given?
So now you can't even use it as evidence because who knows who was passed through before it even got to the mom. You know what I mean?
Super contaminated.
Yeah. So it's just crazy. They also said that there was no evidence of rape or sexual assault.
How they know?
However, there was no rape kit taken. So how do you know?
How they know?
How do you know? Currently, there is a private investigation looking into Henny Scott's case, and the family is still pending information.
No.
And that's the story of Henny Scott.
Oh my God. That's that. It's everything that you hate in investigators who don't investigate, who withhold information and mishandle evidence.
Withholding, mishandling, all of that.
And then possibly, you know, giving a false report or conclusion on what happened to her body. It just doesn't add up. A 14-year-old walking in the middle of a field
in the freezing cold.
Maybe she did die due to hypothermia, but that's not how she was injured. She didn't sit there and take her shirt off. A 14-year-old?
Yeah.
Come on.
And once again, the fact that they were saying that she had been there for 21 days, but nothing of nature had gotten to her body. I mean, they said there were no insect bites. There were no, like, animal bites. You're in the middle
That's
of a
insane.
Field. Animals
That's
are
going
to get to you.
That's nuts.
You know what I mean? For them to have an open casket, I'm going to assume there wasn't a bunch of decay, right? Mm-hmm. But after 21 days, come on. Like,
I was going to say, maybe because if she died of hypothermia in the cold, then although her body is still decaying, it would still be not so much into. I would say after 21 days, it would be, you can see it decaying. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It just, I'm confused because the
evidence. About it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm confused because that's confusing.
Right.
Wow.
And it's unfortunate because once again.
And then why did the evidence get returned to the mom? Like, it just, that's like the most.
Evidence was returned, and then they have the audacity to say, oh, we're not going to give you information because it's still an open case. But so you mean the FBI closed it. You guys still have it open, so I don't get any information.
So I get
anyone
nothing.
At any time.
Because they have nothing, because they didn't do anything.
Because they did, exactly. And that's really why I think happens a lot when there's so much information withheld. It's because there's so many missteps in the investigation, and that's a problem, and that looks bad
on them.
And so obviously,
and they
want to
cover
kind
it
of
up.
A cover up. Yeah.
Wow. So crazy. Oh, that's so sad. Poor baby.
This type of thing happens. I'm telling you, when I was reading this, I'm like, this happens more often than
poor
not
baby.
When it comes to these poor, especially these young, young girls, 14 years old. Mm-hmm. So crazy.
Okay. My story is of Ashley Loring. This is kind of a recent one, but we're going to get into it. Ashley was described to be strong and loving. She loved horses, the rain, and was always willing to help. Ashley is a member of the Blackfeet Indian Reservation in Montana, as well as yours. And anyway, so she was enrolled in Blackfeet Community College studying environmental science. The Blackfeet Reservation is expansive and spans more than 1.5 million acres and is larger than the state of Delaware.
Dang,
isn't that crazy? That's a lot of land. Damn. Good for them, right? The Blackfeet Reservation is the 10th largest tribe in the United States. Actually, the United States is a part of the Blackfeet Reservation. Okay. Okay, that part. They specifically have a lot of rights to the fresh water on the land to sustain an enriching economy, which is, I think it's awesome because I was looking how it like snows and shit, like basically like the ice that melts and it's like fresh water. I think it's so cool that basically all of us outside of that reservation, we're pretty much smoked, but then they're good. Like they're straight.
The mountain where they carve the heads into,
isn't that in Washington DC?
What is it called?
Mount Rushmore. That's in Washington DC.
No, I don't think so.
In DC? Not Washington State. Where is it? Look it up. Do a Google search because now I'm that's not in DC. Dang it. Is it?
Rushmore is in South Dakota.
I am so. Why is it in South? That makes no sense. It needs to be in Washington, D.C., because duh.
Like, right.
Right?
I don't think D.C. has, like, mountains like that, though.
They can't, don't?
Like, carve something into the side of a building.
Into a hill. If they have that. Okay. I'm so ignorant. Okay. Speaking of enriching, so were the people. They care deeply about keeping their Native American culture alive and anyone who is in it. We all have heard about the missing Native American women in Canada. And if you haven't, there are missing Native American women in Canada. That just like we are all now becoming more aware of.
Right.
Who Ashley in particular vowed she was going to help. Her sister Kimberly said, Ashley came up to me and said she wanted to help these women. She told me about what's going on with these women that over in Canada, that a lot of girls are going missing. And just a few months later, Ashley became one of those women. On June 5th, 2017, Ashley wanted to go to a party and had written to friends on Facebook Messenger that she needed a ride from the family's ranch into Browning, the only incorporated town in Blackfeet Reservation. 20-year-old Ashley was reported attending the party and do what anyone else does at a get-together or party, which is drink and socialize. There was a video that was posted on social media showing Ashley sitting on a couch talking to people. During the time at the party, Kimberly, who was on a trip in Morocco, who, again, Ashley's older sister, received a text from Ashley asking for money. Kimberly asked if Ashley was okay, and she said yeah. And Kimberly then said, okay, she'd give her the money when she returned from the trip, as she had no way in sending it at the time. That night would be the last time anyone would hear from Ashley.
Wow, that's...
2 weeks after Ashley was last seen, her family received their first tip. Someone had seen a young woman running from a vehicle on U.S. Highway 89 on the reservation. The area is known to be desolate and is surrounded by swamp and forests, like dense forests and whatever. A search was conducted of the area, and in a nearby dump, volunteers found a gray sweater thought to have belonged to Ashley, which they handed over the sweater to the BIA to test. What does BIA stand for? Investigation Association. I don't know.
That is what I actually had when we were to go.
You had
Bureau,
that.
Yeah. Girl, where the hell did
you go? In both cases are in Montana. Crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. How the hell do you spell Bureau? Bureau of Indian Affairs. That's what it's called. That's what BIA stands for.
I don't know how to spell it.
No help.
I tried. I couldn't even get the letter B out. I was like, I'm not even gonna attempt it. Okay. Kimberly is a badass, okay? And let me just say, older sister love surpasses any type of love any woman can receive. And yeah, you have different tiers of love, but sister love, whether it's blood or in spirit, is incomparable. So, like, Kimberly decides to take matters into her own hands. She would ask the investigators what leads they had, and instead of waiting for them to follow up, she followed up right away. She went through every text message, phone calls, friends, acquaintances, associated strangers, and was on the investigators' asses. So she jumped on it. And the reason why I talk about the love of a sister is because obviously we're close sisters. So, you know, you like I would literally kill for you. And, you know, I know you do the same for me. It's just it's a little different, you know. Yeah. She unfortunately found out that Ashley's sweater was tucked away in an evidence box and was never sent out for forensic analysis.
What the fuck? Oh my gosh, I can't.
And it's crazy because you're like, okay, well, let me work with these guys to find out that they're also kind of like, not saying they're not saying the investigators are enemies, but they're kind of not helping. They're not helping. So I feel like in that moment, my mind would go black and white. Like you're either an enemy or your friend or foe.
Exactly.
And even like, I just imagine her going through all her friends, like her even any friend that she had questioned throughout Ashley's lifetime. I'm sure Kimberly was like, oh, I need to talk to this friend because I didn't like you in the first place.
Right.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
For
so
sure.
It's like any, if you stutter about when was the last time you talked to my sister, you're a foe. You're an enemy and I'm on your ass, you know? So it just sucks.
That's exactly how I would approach it.
Yeah. So it just sucks for her in her mind I guess it would be, you know, I don't know if it was like this, but I'm assuming in her mind, investigators are now placed in the category of working against her as opposed to working with her.
Absolutely.
You know? During one of the family's many searches, weeks after Ashley was declared missing, the family also found parts of a torn sweater and a pair of red stained boots. The torn sweater had red stains of what appeared to be blood. The items were found on the northern edge of the reservation and not far from the house owned by a 52-year-old man named Sam McDonald. Prior to her disappearance, Kimberly knew her sister had been struggling with the death of a grandfather and the breakup with her first love shortly thereafter. This had led Ashley to begin experimenting with drugs and hanging out with an older crowd, which included Sam McDonald. Mm. Sam McDonald was one of the last people Ashley Loring was with before her disappearance. Admitting that he had been partying with her for a few days, he claimed that the last time he saw Ashley was on the morning of June 11th. And let me just say, if you are 20 years old and a man who is 50-something years old approaches you. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Oh.
He was a sir. He was a mister. If a 50-something year old approaches you to befriend you, he is not there to be your friend. And to you young adults, please be wary. Just because you're of age legally in the United States does not mean that you're of age to make sound decisions. Mm-hmm. And you just have to be careful with guy, just men. And if there is a man that is 10 years older than you and you were 20 years old, don't do it.
Well, they say, you know, like I've heard before, if they cannot find a friend their own age and they have to go looking for a friend much younger, like that's already a red flag.
Especially
right
if exactly. So he stated that Ashley had asked him to drive her to a pull off in the reservation so that someone named V-Dog could pick her up.
V-Dog.
He remembered falling asleep in the car, and when he woke up, Ashley was nowhere to be seen. After looking around for her, he assumed she had gotten a ride with the man that was supposed to have picked her up, and he left the area. He was questioned, and his house was searched multiple times by law enforcement, but no arrests were ever made. The items of clothing they had found on his property were turned over to police to be tested, but to this day, no results had ever been released. Withholding information.
Of course, once again.
Nearly 9 months after Ashley went missing, the FBI decided to take control of the case after various leads took investigators into nearby states and off the reservation. V-Dog, who is also known as Paul Valenzuela, is a man, another man in his 50s, with a known criminal record.
Of course.
Paul V-Dog, if you keep your fucking nickname and you are 50 years old.
Yeah, 50 is crazy.
Because
I was going to say, okay, so, well, off subject but on subject. I was watching this show on Hulu, and it's called Reservation Dogs, and it's so good, and it's about these Native American teens who live on the reservation, and it's just, like, about their life.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just, like, following them. So I was thinking Reservation Dogs. Like,
oh, wow.
Maybe that's, like, a thing
in,
like, the Native American community, but not at 50, though.
No, 50 years
that
old.
That sounds crazy.
That sounds ridiculous. You better call. I'm Mrs.
I don't care what your culture is.
Yeah, I'm Mrs. or Ms. by 45, okay? Like, fuck yeah, that. You're, yeah, don't, right. Don't call me a nickname.
Exactly.
B-Dog, which is Paul. Anyways. Paul and his then-wife, Tashina Running Crane, or her nickname, T. I'm so tired of these nicknames for these older people. Please, please stop that. Okay. So they were also investigated by police and had their residence searched. Paul and T were in a Paul and T were in a rocky marriage, and Ashley's family have said that Ashley and Paul were actually seeing each other before her disappearance. A month after Ashley had disappeared, Paul filed for divorce from T, who had said that she did not know about their relationship until Ashley disappeared. So Paul and Ashley had an entanglement, and because of the investigation, they freaking unsurface all types of shit. And so the wife of Paul is like, I didn't know you were messing around on me,
yeah.
Let alone with the 20-year-old girl that went missing, and then they got a divorce. So, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, it seems like this motherfucker ain't shit all the way around.
For sure. To date, police have not named anyone as a suspect, and no arrests have been made.
No. What?
That's the only, like, major detail that we have about the case.
Wow.
Kimberly Loring ended up testifying to Senate members about their experience, struggles, and the mismanagement of evidence she witnessed from law enforcement in her sister's case. Since Ashley's disappearance, Kimberly had quit her job, moved back home, and continued to search for her sister. She has conducted more than 120 searches with little help from authorities. She continues to search for her sister each day, and the case is still open yet unsolved.
Damn. So they didn't even find the body.
There. No, they haven't even found the body.
The body. There's or the
no one knows what's going on. All we have is different like pieces of a sweater and the full sweater that I don't know if it was still we still don't know if it's still in that evidence box to this day. Mm-hmm. It's like very well it very well still could be in that evidence box, mm-hmm. even after Kimberly found out it was in the evidence box. So we have that, we have the boots, nothing. And then we had items from McDonald's, his Sam McDonald's home, mm-hmm. who was basically the last, who we think is the last person who saw her. Like, yeah. Where in which those items had not been tested yet either. So it's still a standstill, although it's still open, but there's like stagnation going on with the case. With But yes, so that is the case of Ashley Loring.
That is so unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Yeah. If you're, I mean, even if you're in your like 20s, mid 20s, like in a 50-year-old comes talking to you, just don't. Just don't.
Just don't. They don't want to be your friends.
He's not there for the right reasons.
No, and they don't want to be. I mean, even let's just take Ashley's story, for example, like we have Sam McDonald, who is reportedly her friend, and he fell asleep and he gave her a ride somewhere, fell asleep in the car for some other old man named V-Dog to pick her up, but he fell asleep and woke up and didn't know where she was. That does not even sound like a friend in general. Yeah, right, you see what I'm saying? Place, like, so yeah. Even if it was my actual best friend who dropped me off somewhere and didn't really like keep tabs or like ask questions, I'd be like, oh, you're kind of not a good friend. You don't give a fuck about my safety
at all,
you know?
Right,
so
at all.
Yeah. Scary. That is the story of Ashley Laurie. Mm-hmm. Laurie. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh,
you know what I will say about your story too is that you did give a sense of like the reservation that you did speak about was like it was nice, you know, like it did kind of give, unfortunately, you know, someone lost their life, and I'm sure more have lost their lives, but it just reminded me of, I remember I was looking at this Twitter conversation, and it was a girl, and if I remember correctly, she was Black, and she was speaking on the inequalities and disparities and basically like bad things about Indian reservations or Native American reservations. And she was just saying like, you know, I really am empathetic towards Native Americans because coming from Black people and where we come from, she's just like, you know, it just makes you want to not only fight for like yourself, but you really want to fight for them because we were taken from our land and these people's land was taken from them,
period.
You know? So it's just so she was being empathetic. However, and she did bring up the reservations. However, there was someone in the comments who allegedly is Native American. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can be anything on the internet, right?
For sure.
But this person was Native American. They said that they were Native American in their bio and things like that. And she was like, don't generalize. And she was like, I'm just saying not all reservations are bad. And then, of course, someone went on under her in the comments and was like, I'm sure not all reservations are bad, but given what we've heard and what we've seen, it kind of seems like the majority.
Yeah, and the bad ones, then, even if it's minority, the bad ones
overshadow
should be
it. They should be
taken
they
care
should
of.
Be, yeah, yeah, they should be taken care of. And then another person was like, I get that you've heard that they're bad, but don't generalize. Like, they're not all bad. And so I'm reading this, and of course, I don't live on a reservation. I never have. And so I am only going off of what I've heard. I don't know how it is, but I did like how when you described yours, it was different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it depends on who you talk to. It depends on what reservation they come from, what tribe they come from, and things like that. Mm. But
you
I don't know. I just thought I should bring that
shed
up.
Shed light on that.
Yeah. What I've seen on the internet,
right,
is that yes, not all reservations are bad, where we do kind of have this notion that they are.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all, I mean, y'all tell us, don't kill me for this. I just have never really heard too much good.
Yeah.
About
me neither.
Them.
Me neither.
And so when somebody says that they are good, I'm like, oh, okay. Like I didn't know this.
Yeah.
You know, but two things could be right at the same
time. Exactly.
Like there could be good ones, there could be bad ones.
And I think that's a great point that two things can be right, because like and I'm not knocking the people that said not all reservations are bad and don't put us in a lump sum or don't, you know, put us in one category. But low key to me, that's kind of giving like, you know, not all Black people are like that.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's giving that. And it's like, okay, even
that's like a Black, like, well, nobody's ever called me a nigger.
Exactly.
And
like, that's
okay,
like saying,
but that doesn't mean it don't happen.
Exactly. It's like, well, I've never witnessed or I've never experienced this type of racism. Exactly. And it's like, it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It just means that, hey, your people are going through this thing, even though you're not. But if you're not, then you have some sort of leverage and upper hand to help your people out. So even if your reservation isn't bad, then maybe look into getting better funding into the reservations that are neglected.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. If yours is great.
If yours is great, you know, then it's just, it's exactly, it's just about helping your, it's about helping your people. And I understand that the internet is full of opinions and it's easy to just drop your opinion. But also understand though, if someone is advocating for your people, let them advocate and don't come in there trying to, what's it called?
Separate.
Exactly. Like
that,
yeah.
Like that does happen. That's exactly what it seemed like. There definitely was like immediately a separation. Mm-hmm. And again, like it is hard to speak on it. Even me, like it is hard to speak on this because although we know what it is like to be oppressed, I can't say
yeah,
that
we're not Native American. The same
You know, like
so we don't know.
I'm sure it's, like, yeah, I don't know that experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and this just goes for like all.
I think if you are like a Native American and you see someone who is speaking on the disparities and the oppression and things like that, and not just Native American, anybody, if you see someone that is not of your culture or of your race speaking on the disparities and you don't like that they're speaking on the disparities, I mean, you could just say that. You don't have to be like,
well, not all of us.
Like, they were being kind of rude. They were being rude to her about it. And I think she thought she was doing the right thing by bringing it to the light.
I think she was.
I mean,
You're shedding light on it, but we're not Native American, so I can't say.
But as a Black person,
yeah,
I can say when I see someone, even if I see like a white person and they're advocating for us, I think that that's dope because I think it's good to have that conversation between everybody.
Exactly.
I think everybody should be able to speak on it, but
yeah,
I don't know. Let me stop talking. I don't want to get into
I know. Anyways, guys, you heard it here first. This is Cocktail Murder. Once again, we drink, we talk about murder. Thank you guys so much for sending in all of your recommendations. We are definitely taking it in into consideration. And if you have any topics that you would like for us to discuss on our belligerent corners, if you have something that you want to rant about, if you have something that you have an issue with or you want to get off your chest, definitely email us at cocktailmurder. @gmail.com or you can send us a DM at Cocktail Murder. And also make sure you continue to follow our TikToks in which we condense our stories for you short span attention motherfuckers.
Yeah. So the ones that have probably already clicked off of this episode.
Seriously, it was like, I don't do podcasts, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah.
But anyways, until then, we can cheers it out to the next mudda. Yes. Cheers. Clink, clink.